is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Welcome back, everybody. Today's episode 29, and we're talking about act as if, or acting as if.
How do you act as if? And what are we acting as if of?
I'm assuming you mean act as if what you want to be or what you want to come.
What you want to be true, what you want to be your truth is already true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you want to create is already yours because time is what? Not linear.
Not linear, not real.
Not real.
I heard something explained recently about what you want is already on its way. Well, it already exists and it's already on its way to you. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in like the quantum field and different realities and they're all happening all at once, that it's actually right next to you. And you have to attract it into your current reality.
I don't even know what to think about this idea that all possibilities are all happening. Like, my brain, I'm pretty open-minded, but it comes to stuff like that, and I'm like, you're tripping me out. I don't even know what that means.
I don't think the brain can think that way. I think that's why it's so hard.
When I do think of that, I always think at any point I could suddenly talk about something really random, like, there's a cactus over there, and you're like, I had no idea she was going to say that. That's what comes to mind. Like that at any point you can choose a new path. Yeah, you can, but not just pop into your head to say, but to do. Like, I'm going to California, and I get in the car and I could truly head that way. But that's what I could do. And that's not even the point of the episode.
That's not what we're talking about.
But
made me think of it.
Made you think of it because anything's possible and everything's possible. And when we act as if, we're leaning into the belief that what we want to create is possible. And I think so often we get stuck in a pattern of habits and actions that become habits. And it's really hard to see ourselves as someone that can be a creator of our own reality. And so I was hoping for this episode to lean into this idea that we are the creators of our own reality. And when we act as if, we bring that reality our way even quicker. So let's say there's something that you want to be a world-renowned abstract painter. I just grabbed something. And so you want to be this, but you're not. You're not known around the world. In fact, you barely even paint. And so you are not acting as if. But if you start to act as if, you will paint more. And you will share your paintings with people, maybe even on the interwebs, which connects to the whole world. And slowly, slowly, you are, in a way, a world-renowned artist. And you paint abstractly and you lean into it, and it's about a way of being. And so you shift away from, I wish I could, I should, I want to, and instead shift into, I do, I can, I love it. And that, to me, is acting as if.
So in your example,
excuse me,
bless you.
That was a sneeze.
I never know when to say what to say when people sneeze or cough.
That was just a clearing of my throat. Excuse me.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is maybe in your example, if you'd like to be a world-renowned abstract painter, if you're not a painter yet, maybe you need to go buy some brushes and some paint.
You need to start painting immediately.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to be a writer, write. If you want to be a painter, paint. If you want to be a programmer, program. For the love of all good things. Yeah. Doing so makes you so.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think also, a lot of times, like when I was, even earlier when I was talking about quantum theory, which I'm not even probably
very well versed.
Well versed enough to even bring that up. People throw that word around like they know what they're talking about, and I have no clue about quantum theory. But I feel like when people say that, they throw those crazy abstract things around, and that really they're buzzwords, and people get excited and think about all the infinite possibilities happening at once, and time not being linear, and all those things. That's cool and all, but I think what's really happening is you do have all those options present. And when you start acting on them, you start seeing them. So what's the saying? You can't see the forest from the trees or something.
Yeah, I did a blog post on it, and then I started to Google it, and it was like, don't use that saying. It uses weird English language, but essentially you're so zoomed in.
Yeah, that you can't see.
You can't see that you're amongst the forest. You see a tree here and a tree there.
So that's what I hear when you say act as if. When you start doing those actions, when you start taking those actions of being a painter, you start being more aware of those options of being a painter that were always in front of you, but you couldn't see them. Mm-hmm. But when you start acting as if, then they start opening up to you, and then you start attracting or being aware of what's already there.
Right. It's, to me, I think about momentum.
Yeah.
So many people are sitting on the couch watching episode after episode of whatever show, watching other people do what they love.
Or even YouTube. Looking up YouTube videos on how to paint.
True.
I mean, they're useful.
Yeah, but you're literally watching someone else do what you're saying you want to do. And even if it's just fictional, comedy, drama, whatever, you're watching people do what they love to do. They're acting. They're embodying this figure. It's really cool. It's art. But you're watching someone else perform their art. And so when we act as if, we take ownership for who's on this side of the screen. And that's just one example. People numb out with a lot of things, but I think it's a pretty popular thing to numb out in front of a screen, whether it be your phone in your hand or a TV on the wall or whatever.
You're gonna fight me on this, but I think a book could be the same thing.
I don't think so.
you're
dead wrong, Tim.
You're reading someone else's story and you're living their
linguistically life. There's so many things that happen when you read, and the image is created in your mind's eye versus given to you. You are passively consuming when you watch television or any other screen. And when you read, you are doing things that only the mind can do. It can conceive images.
I'm talking about in comparison of taking action. I think if you're not taking the action, reading a book or watching a movie,
okay,
case is the same.
Yes, this is true.
I agree.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Okay. So, but it's kind of like, learning, I just posted in our Facebook group, the Lifted Life group, about how I've been studying or starting to play around with a ukulele just for fun, because I read a blog over from Brain Pickings about the power of a musical instrument, and what happens in the brain when you play a musical instrument is different than any other experience. And so it makes the two sides of the brain work together in ways that no other activity can. And so watching someone perform music is cool, even if you're live. But it doesn't do the same thing as you making the music. And so it's all about, that's even an example where it's not even a screen. Like, live music is amazing. It does really cool things for the soul or whatever. But actually playing the music, actually living out the act yourself, is where the real magic happens. So, as I was saying, for me, it's about momentum and actually doing the thing that you say you wish you'd like to do. And for me, there's no timeline. There's no age where it's like, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. You're too old. 70, 80, 90, 100. I really, truly don't care. I think if you're here and you're living and you're breathing and you haven't completed or created something that you want to, it's time to start acting as if. It's time to embody the thing and to start doing it. If you want to write, write. If you want to paint, paint. And if you want to program, program. And of course, all the other millions of things that you could say you want to call yourself a writer or whatever, but you have to do the thing. And so many people are just afraid or blocked. What do you think? Why are people not doing it?
Fear. Yeah, I think it's easy to talk yourself out of doing something. I think it's easy to...
Fear that you'll suck.
Yeah.
Fear that you won't create the result you want, so why bother? Oh, there's another theory I have called the back pocket technique, which is actually a trick of the mind. So it's like, well, I'm going to do that someday. So you feel like you have this thing you want to do in your back pocket. And so it's really working from this place of scarcity and not leaning into the abundance of the universe by saying, I need to hold on to this and hang on to this because that's my one big idea. But what happens when we really actually use that idea as we pull it out of our pocket and the universe says, good work, here's another, and put something else. Now, it may not happen immediately, but the momentum will create something new in your back pocket. But I think that could be another block to what we want to create. Let's say you want to create some sort of program where you are walking people through how to XYZ, but you're blocked. How do I do it? You just begin. Help people get the result that excites you. Just begin.
Start the momentum.
Yeah, act as if you are someone who can do this, because to me, the desire is in you because in some way, some form, it's something you are meant to do. It may not always play out like, for instance, the age old, well, I want to play for the NBA, but I, you know, little, and then I can't. It'll still manifest in a way, maybe not the exact way that you think, but that journey that pursuing something like that takes you on will teach you things. It will evolve you. It will grow you. It will change you. And it will lead you to something really awesome. But you have to follow those nudges.
I'm still kind of mulling over the age thing because I totally agree with you that I've heard that, like, I've been trying to learn German for how long we've been together?
13 years? Long time.
We've been married 13 years.
Yeah, 18 years is how long we've been together.
And I've been trying to learn German for 18 years. And I've been more aggressive just recently about really learning it. But
what did you... So now you use Duolingo. Uh-huh. What did you use like a long, long time ago?
The Pemslers and Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
I did all of those. Listen to just audio.
Listen to a CD in your car.
But I've heard so many people say, well, I'm too old. Or, you know, or not I'm too old, but I've heard people say they're too old to learn. And I've heard people say to me, you should have learned that when you were a child because that's when you can learn another language. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably should have.
It'd be easier.
It would be easier.
That doesn't mean it's...
But I don't think there's an age limit.
No.
I'm reading Stealing Fire, mm-hmm. and they were talking about in there, when you have aha moments, mm-hmm. if you were hooked into a CT scan, you would actually see that you're producing delta waves. Mm. So delta waves are what are produced when you meditate. Depending on what levels you're in meditation. And they said it's the same signature that when you learn something, your brain is firing and wiring new neural pathways. Mm-hmm. And that gives off that signature. And when you have an aha moment, it's actually when your brain's like connection made. And I just don't think there's an age. Like, I think that could happen at any age.
Right. But old belief systems were the brain is hardwired. We are hardwired.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what they started to learn is there's a plasticity to our brain and it can change and we can change. Mm. And so what's fascinating is we always could change. We just didn't believe we could. And so we didn't lean into that. So much is belief, the power of belief.
And there's something else I talked about in the book about forgetting to forget that you always knew that at some point in your life, you forgot.
Right. And you have to undo the remembering or you...
Yeah, it's forgetting to forget. It's like the double negative, but
hey,
clever.
What?
You scared me.
I was sorry. I was just going to say, before we get too far into the show, I wanted to take a quick minute to thank our sponsor this week, which is our very own Mood Boosting Probiotic. Of course, that's our sponsor because we're the Lifted Life Podcast and this show is brought to you by us. So for this week, I wanted to do something kind of fun and different. I actually wanted to read a review that came in recently for this product, our Mood Boosting Probiotic. And this was from Thomas and he said it works. Now, after I read this, we'll get right back to the conversation. And actually, I have something I don't want to forget. Help me remember to come back to the topic of continuous learning. You writing that down?
Got it.
Thanks, babe. Thomas said it works. And here's his review. I have suffered daily from anxiety for over 20 years. I have tried just about everything you can think of to get rid of it. I didn't even have anything to be anxious about, but my mind would invent something. One day I started taking a probiotic for something else and felt normal for the first time in a very long time. I was floored. I started researching probiotics and was shocked there were certain strains that help with anxiety. Why had no doctors ever mentioned this to me? The effects of that probiotic unfortunately quit working, and I decided to try this one. I have been taking it ever since, and it has changed my life. No more worrying excessively over nothing. No more jolting awake in the morning with my mind racing. I can enjoy life and be me again. I can't say enough good things about it. Hope it helps you too. Whew, okay. I didn't even think about how sometimes when I read those, I get emotional, and I didn't even think about getting emotional on air, but I really love those long reviews. I share short reviews on social media, but sometimes the longer ones just look kind of wordy, so I don't share them. So I thought it'd be an excellent time to share it on the show because we have some really amazing customers who have experienced some really amazing results. So that was for our Mood Boosting Probiotic, but we have similar ones for each of our products. And I always say just because one works one way for someone doesn't mean it'll necessarily work that way for you. It's all about your particular microbiome diversity. So
also, I think we should special thanks to Thomas again for sharing.
Yeah, taking a moment to type his story.
It's one thing to take it and get the results and then to share for everyone else to, you know, who knows, there's someone that may come along and actually relate to his story.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think too, it's funny. People either write reviews when they're really, really mad or really, really happy. So yeah. Every once in a while we get someone who's in between. But as much as I'd love to have created a product that could work 100% of the time for 100% of people, I know that's just not a reality. And so that's something I get to coach myself on every day whenever somebody says something nasty about me or the product, is that, you know, it's their own journey they're on and I'd love for it to work for them, but I get that it can't. So that's, I love how this is like the sponsor, but then it always ends up leading back to conversations about living a lifted life, because everything we're going through, even with like when we sit down to make this podcast and our energy's low and we're like, we got to figure this out because we cannot be bringing this kind of energy to the podcast. I really try to protect the energy. So everything we do is often the lesson as well for us as we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree that we always try to raise the energy, raise the vibration. But I think it's also natural to have ups and downs, you know, mm-hmm. and that it's not, we're normal people.
Right.
We don't live a lift. We live a lifted life every day, but we don't live this high vibrational life
every single moment.
Every single moment.
Well, yeah. And it's if you don't have the contrast, then you don't experience it that way.
Appreciate the high.
So basically, you have to have the thorn to appreciate the rose, is kind of the old fashioned way of saying.
Every rose had a thorn.
Yeah, that's it too. Hey, I hear a truck outside, and it reminded me I was gonna give our lifted lifers a warning that the mail has not come yet today, and we have two dogs that protect us from the mailman or mail lady every single day. It is a blessing in disguise, but if we suddenly get some barking, then you will know the mail has arrived. Okay, so I
continuous
had you...
Continuous learning, please.
Yes, so kind of acting as if reminds me of this idea, this false belief that so many people have, that they go to school till high school and then maybe they go to college or maybe not. But for so many people, after that traditional schooling, they just stop learning. Oh, I haven't opened a book since high school. I haven't read a book since college. I haven't read one since my college professor assigned blank. Would you stop it? Would you wake up? Nobody needs to assign you a book for you to read a book. You need to assign yourself a book. You are grown. Well, it is time for you to take personal responsibility for your own evolution and learning. And if you tell me you have not opened a book since blank, then I will throw a book at you.
Yeah, I think that...
Or an audio book. No judgment.
I hated high school, and I didn't love parts of college. There are certain parts I absolutely loved. And I think looking back on it, what I loved was the growth. I loved the challenge and then figuring it out and then experiencing the growth.
Well, how about this? Our kids currently go to a school where they don't even get grades. Do you think that some of the pressure or the, like, they were literally grading you against other people? So you'd be like, well, I got a C, they got an A, they're smart, I'm dumb. Was some of it this like perceived embarrassment of how smart you were compared to others? And like, can you think how damaging that might be to some people?
But I also think about, I didn't really give a shit about some of the stuff they were teaching me. Like,
not caring is a really good way to not retain information as well.
But so then there were certain things I really was passionate about and cared about, and those are the things that I felt.
Well, that's the things,
and I think it's what you're saying is that,
yeah, pick up a book on that.
Most people think about when you think, or I think they think about when they think about high school, think about, oh, that sucked, or that person, I hated that teacher, or I didn't like Spanish class, whatever. Fine. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee there's something you enjoy right now that you can learn about that you don't know everything about, or maybe something you know nothing about that you'd like to know more about, mm-hmm. and experience that growth.
Right. It's always so fascinating when you take a strong stance, like open a book or I'll throw one at you. It sounds a little judgy. I mean, let's just take a step back here and a deep breath, Sylv. If someone hasn't read a book and they're feeling judged, let's take a look at it. Because what happens when I decide to speak my truth, which is we should all be learning. Okay, there's that word should, but I encourage us to all consider the power of continuing our education beyond the limited confines of schooling as we know it. That's what I encourage you to do, with love, not judgment. And if you don't love to read books, then you can pick up a magazine. If you don't like reading at all, I think audiobooks truly are just as good. Here lately, I'll put on a YouTube read aloud or some sort of workshop or seminar and just listen to it and let the positivity just sink into my brain, because we have a natural preset that goes towards what do I need to prevent from happening that's going wrong. And so simply by... Yeah. Purposely filling my mind with positivity, I'm able to live the kind of life I want more and more, which leads me back to the idea of acting as if. So what I'd love to do is talk to the folks at home or at work or on their walk about this idea of acting as if, and they say, but Sylvia and Tim, I don't like my job. How am I supposed to act as if? What would you say?
Ooh, they don't like their job. Well,
or I don't like going to school, but my parents said I have to finish or else they'll take away my life savings or something. I don't know.
Well, I think deep down you have to start with what do you want? Mm-hmm. I don't like my job. Okay, well, what do you want? I want to like my job, or I want a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, pick one.
Or I don't want to work.
Or I don't want to work. Hey, it's fine. Pick one and then act.
But I want to buy all these nice things. But well, still get clear. What do you want, right?
Yeah, what do you want? And then if it's those things, well, maybe there's a super passive income thing that you may be able to build that brings you income every day, and you don't. It's tricky with the word work, because traditionally we think about work as something you don't like and that you have to go do.
A negative connotation, so which is simply a belief.
So if someone says, I don't want to work another day in my life, then go find something you enjoy that you
love to do.
That you love to do and that you'll get paid for, and then you'll never work again. So
so to speak.
So to speak.
Yeah. No, I feel like I had 100 different ideas that were rushing to me, but I kind of lost them all.
Yeah, I zapped them from you.
You zapped them. Okay, so they don't love what they're doing, but, oh, I know. Knowing what you don't want helps you to see more of what you do want, but, and that's a big old but, you have to then shift the focus towards what you do want. Allow what you don't want to guide you, but do not stay stuck there. So many people just get stuck there. Here's what I don't want. I want to complain about my job because I don't like my coworkers and I don't think we get paid enough and I don't get enough time off and I don't have all these things. And then they get stuck there. They don't flip the coin. I always say flip the coin. That was one of my favorite coaching strategies when I was working with clients. And if you didn't know, before I started Lifted with the Hubs, I was growing my own coaching practice, just starting to get some momentum when I decided, no, I don't quite want to do that. But that's okay, because knowing what I didn't want led me to what I did want. And I didn't stay focused on what I didn't want. I said, what do I want more of? I want more time freedom. This coaching practice keeps me stuck in this one-on-one hour per dollar model. I want more time freedom so that if I do spend ample time with a customer, it feels good, because overall the business is not reliant on just me. So I allowed what I didn't want to lead me towards what I did want. And then I focused on that. And I think that's the biggest mistake people make, is I don't want this, I don't want that. And they can sometimes identify what they do want, but then they go right back to the focus on what they don't want.
Yeah, to kind of touch on that, one of my mentors did an exercise where he said, write down a list of all the things you want. And it was difficult. Like, I couldn't, I mean, outside of the normal, like, I want my family, and my, but like, no, business-wise, what do you want? I'm like, and then... So, okay, then make a list of what you don't want. Well, that was easy. I don't want to do this. I want to go there. I don't want to do that. Blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, so you made that list. Now do the opposite of that on what you do want. On the other side of that, just write what the opposite of that. Like, I don't want to go to work. I want to stay home. I want to stay home. Yeah, and just do that. And that was an easy way to build the list of what you want. And then, like, exactly what you said, now focus on what you want. You can throw away the don't want list. You don't need that.
One of my mentors, actually, who I went through the coach training program with, did this amazing exercise of what do you want? But she said, within this list of 50 things you want, weave in things you already have. So often we're like, well, I already have that. I don't want it. And that's our biggest problem, is we've created so many things that we want and we fail to soak in the gratitude of the experience. So it's like, I want to own my own home. Well, I already have that. Yeah, but you wanted it so bad at one point, and now you're failing to just relish in the joy of this creation. You are a creator. And so with the list of 50 things you want, every other or so was to be something we've already created that we want and that we already have. And then you're wanting from a place of abundance instead of this place of lack. Of course, I want this because I want this too, and I have this, and I'm going to create it.
But we've covered this so many times, and maybe this fits in with acting as if. But what you really want is the feeling that the object brought you. And if you can buy into that and believe that, going back and just thinking about the feeling you had when you got the thing you wanted that you already have. It's just as powerful as...
But you don't even have to go back. You still have it. You wanted a house.
No, but you go back to how you felt when you received it.
Right, but feel that way that you thought you'd feel when you got it right now.
Yeah.
instead of going back, it's already trippy.
It's backwards than what you think.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, but acting as if leans into creating more of what you want and living into that reality. And so a big part, you know, we were even saying, some people say fake it till you make it. Ooh, I don't really like that saying. Guess what? A lot of times in my career as an entrepreneur, I had to, though.
In a way, I think fake it till you make it is like
it doesn't always work. It's not the best life advice, but every once in a while, if you want to be a writer and you're freaking scared and every time you write, you feel pukey. If you fake it till you make it and tell yourself a new story, I'm a great writer. I write 3 pages every day and I'm going to write 3 pages right now. That's kind of faking it till you make it. And then eventually the pukiness will reside.
The problem with it is you're leading with a negative connotation. You're saying fake it till you make it. Like, I know I'm not it, but I'm going to act like I am. So that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think act as if is better because you're saying I'm acting like I'm how I'm going to be when I achieve this.
Yeah.
I understand that they're similar, but.
Well, and I think so much of acting as if is leaning into the abundance of plenty of ideas, plenty of time.
Knowing you're going to be there. You're just not there yet. So you're acting like how you're going to be.
Or knowing you are there in some way already.
Multiverse. Here we go.
Not just that, but just in the feeling that the result can give you, you can feel it now. So you're already there.
Yeah, no.
There's so many ways that acting as if is the most powerful way to create more of what you want because like attracts like. So mm-hmm. Let's say you're wanting to be this world-renowned abstract artist. You paint and therefore it brings more experiences and more topics of conversation and more people who are interested in painting into your experience. So acting as if is a lot about momentum and feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Another saying some people don't like, but guess what? Sometimes you have to. I think there's been lots of posts I've seen where it's like, you know, forget that saying. It's okay to be afraid and, you know, to lean into the fear and not actually do it. But sometimes you have to feel the fear and do it anyway. And sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. At least I have, and it's gotten me pretty far. Now, if I did that all day long and it felt really inauthentic, no, that's not going to work. But every once in a while, the egoic, fear-based thinking is going to block you, and you just have to power through it and run into the fire like a screaming wolf.
Yeah. In my experience, the fear is always resistance. And it's all, for me, always goes back to some sort of egoic thing.
That reminds me of the book, The War of Art. I said that right. I think it's the newer one by Stephen Pressfield. Is that his name? I think so. I have it as an ebook, but I've been reading less and less ebooks because I prefer paper books and not to look at my phone all day. But anyway, the whole premise of that book is how resistance is a tricky critter. And if you're not aware of it, it'll literally block you from anything and everything you want to create. Highly recommend that book. You should pick it up. I think you would really like it too. Right. So you're anyway,
on my list.
Put it on your list. All right. This is a kind of longer episode.
Yep.
We're trying to wrap this puppy up. Hopefully you found something valuable. If you did, be sure to leave us a rating and review because it helps stroke our ego. No, that's not what I meant. Because it helps more people find us. And we're actually getting ready to try to do some more Facebook ads to draw attention to the podcast because even though we love our small and friendly listener base, we would love to grow it because we're going to continue showing up. And what the heck, we might as well have hundreds of thousands of listeners if we're going to sit here and elevate our energy before we hop on and share everything we know with you guys.
Topics too. If there's topics that we
hit us up in our DMs over on Facebook or Instagram or even info@liftednaturals.com. If you're like, yeah, but what about this? This is something I'm really struggling with. We'll dedicate a whole episode to it because we love your ideas. So thanks so much for listening. Have an amazing week.